Have you ever had anybody stick up for you? Well, I don't mean like going into a supermarket and they, this is a stick up. I mean somebody go to bat for you when you're in a difficult situation and you need somebody to stand up and be your reference, to stand up and say, this person needs this help, if you will. Sometimes it could be in healthcare. Sometimes it could be legal. I look at our lawyer for that. All kinds of situations where somebody's going to stand up for you, go to bat for you, to intercede for you. Well, that is what happens in today's Holy Gospel. Jesus prays for his church. It's a prayer that's not like any other prayer. He shows us that we're to be working to be a great church and to really become the body of Christ. This is a very special prayer that Jesus prayed. And he must have been in agony knowing that in just hours he was going to be arrested, and this was the night before his death. It's important to know that just before Jesus' prayer in today's Holy Gospel in John chapter 17 are the words in John chapter 16, giving us his assurance. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, if that's not going to bat for somebody, I don't know what is. When Jesus comes to his Father in this prayer for his church, he makes a request for the church, expressing confidence in you and me. In verses 20 and 21, which immediately follow today's Holy Gospel, Jesus prays, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning the apostles. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow. The gift that Jesus gave to his disciples, they in turn gave to the world in the name of Jesus. And that gift is the untarnished faith in the Word of God. That, as Jesus said, is true. It's unchangeable. It's untwistable. And it's flat out incorruptible. Culture, my friends, does not change the Word. The Word, instead, is supposed to change culture. The Word of God. Jesus has this confidence that expresses that we will carry out the message that he has given to completion. And he prays that the Father will help us to do so. Isn't it remarkable that 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for this church, this 8-year-old church, and for all churches that exist today. 8 times in this prayer, Jesus goes to the Father and says that he has done what he's been asked to do. Jesus prays that the work he started will be continued in his church, in this church. He asks that the work that he had begun, went to the cross for, and died for, would continue years down the road, and that it would be actively happening. This is genuinely a great prayer. And in it, Jesus comes to the Father asking 5 things on our behalf. The first, Jesus prays that you and I as the church will sense the glory and presence of God, feel, experience, and know his glory. Now, the word glory means visible manifestation of the power and the radiance and beauty of God himself. I can't help but think of the time when Moses went in to visit with God and came out and his face just glowed so much he had to put a veil across it because people were looking at him like, what's going on? But that's the power, the glory, the manifestation, the radiance and beauty of God himself. The manifestation means it's happening. It's unfolding and it's happening right before you. You're seeing it and you're experiencing it. Jesus wants people in the years to come to continue to feel and sense his presence. Next Sunday is 50 days after Passover, Pentecost. I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit us in a special way next Sunday as we celebrate Pentecost. Don't forget to wear something red. Secondly, Jesus prayed that we would not only feel the presence of God, that we would follow the Word of God. His Word is complete, and never, I will repeat that, never to be changed. When the disciples received the Word of God, it gave them meaning for their lives. They understood Jesus truly came from the Father in heaven and gave them life. When we get into the Word of God, we begin to have meaning in life. And then when you can understand how the Word comes alive, it's the Word of God that satisfies and establishes us. We need to be in the Word of God and be bathed in the Holy Spirit as we read it. Third, Jesus prayed that we would become united in the love of God. When you get to the body of Christ, united in love, then God begins to do some very great things. We're seeing great things being done right here in this body, St. Andrew's Anglican Church. Look at what God has done in the 8 years that have gone before us. I honestly believe God is not done yet. Fourth, Jesus prayed that the church would begin to move in the mission of the Father. The word sanctify means to make holy and equip, to give you the tools that you need to do the job. What's our mission? To seek and save those who are lost. Fifth, lastly, Jesus prayed that we would really experience God's joy. Jesus said in verse 13, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them." So let me ask you, what gives the church God's joy? When we sense the presence of God, when we follow the Holy Word of God, and don't try to make it say something that it does not, when we're united in the love of God, and when we go forth in the mission of God, then as a body of followers of Jesus, we begin to experience the love and joy of God. In this Holy Gospel reading, Jesus is about to be going away, and he's very much aware that his disciples are at risk. He knows that they're going to turn tail and run when he's arrested, and he knows they're going to hide, and he knows that he's going to visit them on the day of his resurrection in the upper room. He knows all these things. He also knows that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them 50 days after Passover, after his ascension. The world, which hates them as it hated him, will threaten and abuse them. Just look at the world today and the persecution that takes place against Christians. You can watch the TV shows at night, and Christianity is made fun of in what is supposed to be funny TV shows. I find abhorrent. Anyway, they tried to kill John, the apostle, by boiling him in oil in Rome. The 11 apostles all found death, and they welcomed it because it was sacrificial martyrdom in the way of Jesus. And when they tried to kill John, he walked right out of the pot of boiling oil. It didn't touch him. He wasn't even bruised. And so he was sent in exile to the Greek island of Patmos, because God had a plan, because it was there that God was going to give him the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible, all about the last days, the end times. The world hates the disciples, and in many ways hates Christians, hates us, and can be seen snarling, making jokes, and tries to divert people from seeking the truth. Like the apostles, we don't belong in the world. We're sent into it, and for that reason, we need protecting. That's what Jesus' prayer is all about. What is now needed is for us to be kept from being pulled back into the world with all its wickedness and rebellion. During Jesus' 3 years of public ministry, he looked after his disciples and now was turning that protecting over to God the Father and the Holy Spirit to be teaching and leading them. He's entrusting them to the Father, who will continue the work of keeping them safe. Jesus addresses the Father as holy and declares that he is setting himself apart so that his disciples too may be set apart. Now, as our high priest, Jesus is asking the Father to preserve his people, us, from evil, from tricks and traps of the world. He wants us to be his holy people in the truest sense. What Jesus has already done for his people is to keep them in the Father's name and to give them his word, his holy word. Entrusting us to the Father will not mean a sudden change for our lives. In praying for them now, he's praying that what he has begun, the Father will gloriously complete through his church. If you know some of Jesus' last words, very important. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." And what happened when that happened, when he said those words? There were earthquakes. The temple veil was torn in two. How was it torn in two? Not by a man from bottom to top. It was torn from top to bottom, as only God could do. And at that point, the Holy Spirit was coming into people's hearts. God no longer needed to be accessed through the Holy of Holies by a high priest going in once a year, but every day of our lives, many times a day if we need it, we can talk to God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. If you have been confirmed, if you have been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you can call upon him. How many times have I said, you know, "Jesus, help me," or "thank you, Jesus"? Well, when you say, "Jesus, help me," you're not just speaking to Jesus, you're calling upon the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you to strengthen you and guide you and guard you. What a precious gift. And we will celebrate that gift next Sunday on the day of Pentecost, wearing red. And you know what? Y'all are gonna look really great in red. Even if it's just a red scarf, it's still something red. A beret, whatever, it works. I'm not wearing a beret, I'm sorry. I'll be wearing red stole investments, as will Deacon Bob. Jesus' high priestly prayer, which is what is John chapter 17, is one of the most serious things that he ever said. It's also among the most joyful and hopeful as well. And I hope that you will anticipate it with joy and with thankfulness, filled with gladness and with thanksgiving. I want you to please remember these words that Jesus spoke. He said, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you continue to lift us up and intercede for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.